Hosea chapter 4 verse 15, though you Israel play the prostitute, yet don't let Judah offend. Don't come to Gilgal, neither go up to Beth-Aven, nor swear as Yahweh lives. Well, Hosea was appealing to both Israel and Judah. That's quite clear from this verse. And I wonder if in fact he married two prostitutes. In chapter 1, he's told to marry Gomer, and the pain of that relationship with Hosea loving her and her being such a prostitute to him and being so unfaithful. This spoke of God's relationship with Israel. But then in Hosea chapter 3, verse 1, Yahweh said to me, go again, love a woman loved by another and an adulteress. So I wonder if in fact there was a second woman. You could say that this is still talking about Gomer, but I wonder if, in fact, he's told to marry two women because he was appealing to both Israel and Judah. Well, why are Judah told here, don't come to Gilgal, neither go up to Beth-Aven? Well, I suggest that these places, if you look on a map, were just over the border from Judah in the territory of Israel, the 10 tribes. The idea was that Judah were there claiming that we have Jerusalem in our territory. We've got the temple. We are the true ones. You 10 tribe people, well, you don't have temple. You don't have the sanctuary. You're just worshipping your calves. Very proud about that. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, as Jeremiah says they said. The idea was, though, that Judah just went over briefly, over the border, into Israelite territory, did their idolatry at the shrines there in Gilgal and Beth-Aven, and then returned to Judah, just a day trip, to do their idolatry. And this is particularly picked up here. Don't do a day trip to Gilgal and Beth-Aven to do your sin, and then just go back to your very pious religious life in Judah. And Gilgal is mentioned also in Amos chapter 4 and Amos 5 as a place that was very attractive to Judah, as a place of sin. In fact, Hosea 9 verse 15 is going to say, all their wickedness is in Gilgal, as if what was going on in Gilgal was sort of absolutely typical, was absolutely the very thing which God hated the most. Why all this emphasis on the sin at Gilgal? Because this is what God hates. People who are living an apparently pious life, claiming, as Judah did, well, we've got the temple, we've got Jerusalem, we are the true people of God, but just dropping over the border to Gilgal and using the shrines there. I think this is the besetting weakness of our age, to quietly, unseen by others, slip over the border to do idolatry and then return, and nobody apparently knows. You can see this particularly in how easy it is to sin online. Pornography would be the typical example, but slander, listening to gossip, watching things that you shouldn't, vicariously involved in that which is wrong. Well, you may say, but I'm not doing it, but you're slipping over the border. The problem is with that sort of attitude where people say, yeah, okay, well, I'm in Judah, I'm faithful to the sanctuary, etc., to the temple and all that, but, yeah, okay, I'll slip over and just quietly do my thing in Gilgal. The problem with sin is that by its very nature, it is addictive. The clearest example would be the person who uses recreational drugs, who occasionally at the weekend does hard drugs at a party or whatever, who slips into eventually hardcore drug addiction. The person who occasionally flirts with someone and ends up having an affair. This is the nature of all sin, that you start with just thinking that this is just a slip over the border, this is Gilgal, and it ends up taking a grip on you. There is no way that we who wish to be spiritually minded can justify this kind of behavior. I'm talking about justifying it to ourselves. Because who is there amongst us who does not know what I mean? What begins as an occasional failure can so easily become part of your life. And God, as I said, emphasizes his hatred of Gilgal, slipping over there to do this and then going back over the border, back into Judah, and saying, as Yahweh lives. In other words, we are the faithful ones. Just as Gomer appeared faithful to Hosea, but she slipped off to her lovers. And so he says, verse 17, Ephraim, that's the 10 tribes, is joined to idols, married to them. Leave him alone. They, verse 18, they play the prostitute continually. And the thing is, they had become sexually addicted. This is quite a theme in the book of Hosea, verse 12. The spirit of prostitution has led them astray, and they've been unfaithful to their God. Just as Gomer, whom Hosea marries, was clearly sexually addicted. She was insatiable. She paid men even to sleep with her. This wasn't a case of occasional out-of-character failure. It became a spirit of living. And of course, the whole image of sexual sin, prostitution, sexual addiction, this is all extreme, I suppose, but it is used by God here because it is actually typical. It is the essence of all failure. Even if you do not sin in the sexual area, this is the spirit of all failure, that what begins as occasional out-of-character failure can become a spirit of living. Point is, don't even start. Don't have the mentality that says, well, I'm slipping over the border this evening. I'm just going to slip over the border, but I'll be back, and I shall swear as Yahweh lives. God hates this. This is why he says all your wickedness was in Gilgal. That place was the epitome of what he so disliked and what so hurt him. As I say, twice in Amos, Gilgal is presented as a place that Judah found particularly attractive. So let's be strong. Let's recognize that this is a tendency of human nature. And if we truly love God, you won't have the spirit of brinkmanship. How far can I go? Can I just occasionally drop over the border? If you love God, you won't do that. You live in a spirit of relationship with him. To get back to the analogy to sexual failure, if you are happily married, if you are secure in your love for each other, you do not think of slipping over the border with somebody else or into virtual sin or virtual unfaithfulness. This is not the way of a sound, solid, trusting relationship. And so it is in our relationship with God in absolutely every aspect.